much, everybody. And what a privilege to come and share our ministry. Thank you, Pastor Blom and church family. And we are so grateful for you all. And keep going, you know, as a Christian, you know, keep doing, continue, and you know what is, you know, God call you to do, and involve in serving, you know, for the Lord's work. And so this morning we was study the Word of God from the book of 2 Timothy this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through verse 5. We are very excited, but before we I read the Bible, if you are able, would you stand with me, please, for reading of the Word of God? And if you are not able, that's fine. And we are very excited to go back, even today, but we have to wait, you know, clear direction from the Lord. At the same time, we're very busy. We pretty much go church to church every week. Next Sunday, coming Sunday, we will go into the Waterloo, Iowa. Do pray for us if you remember my family. Pray for us safety and. But our van, hopefully we can go, and we're very excited. Our main goal is to go back to our country in Thailand or our country, but at the same time we have to go through, you know, go to church, meet pastor, meet God's people, and at least they pray for us. We are so grateful for that opportunity. 2 Timothy chapter 4. verse 1 through verse 5. If you would you read together this morning, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through verse 5. Shall we? I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be in stand in season, out of season, reproof, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Verse 4 and verse 5, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Let's pray together for this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for another day. Thank you for this Sunday at Scranton Revival Baptist Church with your people this morning. Lord, thank you for our salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for you loving us, Lord. Thank you for our Christian life, our Bible in our hand, and our daily life that you gave us. Holy Spirit of God dwelt in our heart. And thank you for what a promise that we have, Lord. You, our heavenly home, one day after we die, we must go to our heavenly home. Thank you so much for those opportunities, Lord. And be with us this morning. Morning, we study the Word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through verse 5. Holy Spirit of God working in our life through our leading, our studying, Lord, and help us to grow in Christ in our life daily, walking with you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. And I give a title for this text, this scripture, these scriptures, Be Ready be ready, preach the word. Be ready, preach the word. So this is according to this text, the solemn charge in verse 1 and verse 2. We see that the Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God. Paul charged Timothy. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as his appearing in his kingdom. So I want to say this. There's one truth that changes everything. No matter your background, your struggles, or your successes. And that truth is in Christ. In Christ. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So in Christ, it changes everything. So here Paul gives Timothy, such a charge. And he gives Timothy and he gives to us in such a charge. Reminding God and Christ Jesus as witness. And witness and judge. And he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. But his first coming, to save sinners. And the Bible says, Mark chapter 10, verse 4, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So he wants to save all of us. And the problem is, do we accept his saving plan? Do we accept as our personal savior? He wants to save people. Not only that, he wants to save sinners. Not only that, he wants to give us more abundant life. The Bible says, John chapter 10, verse 9 through 10, the Bible says, I am the door. Jesus, he says to himself, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. So what a blessing. We can go in and out to directly to God because of him, and find pasture. Verse 10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So not only he wants to save all of us, he wants to give us abundant life in him. So, but when this is for first time he's coming, but when his second coming is to judge the world according to the Bible. And the Bible says in chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the last part you see, at his appearing. The Bible says at his appearing. One of the crucial points of Jesus' teaching was that his return could happen at any time. And that we do not know when that will be. The Bible says, Matthew 24, verse 36 said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So when our focus is on the timing, we are likely to miss the main point. Knowing that Jesus could come back today changes everything about the way we live. And instead of it being a far-off event that cannot happen until other events take place, the return of the Lord is a very real possibility today. Jesus said, the Bible says, Revelation 22, verse 20 says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, even so come, Lord Jesus. He will come and back. I love the song that you know or not, but I type it and I put it in here, and the song is this. The song's title is "He's Coming Soon." "He's Coming Soon" by the Daybreak Quartet. But I like the words. These words. The song says this: "He's coming soon. There's no doubt." How many of you know those songs? "He's coming soon, there's no doubt. I'm gonna leave this world with a shout. Soon we'll be gone, everything will be right. Keep looking up, he may come tonight." And then, the next verse said, "My heart's overflowing with joy and peace. Soon I'll be resting at my Savior's feet. It may be in the morning, it may be at noon. I don't know when he's coming, but I know he's coming soon." So those words, I love it. And we have no doubt he's coming anytime. So we have to live for that. We don't want to waste it, our time. So also, I want to go back to here. When his second coming, he will judge. The book of Psalm talking about that. The book of Psalmist said 96. The book of Psalm chapter 96 verse 13 said this: "Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth." See, he shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. I want to read it to. For the book of Psalm, talking about his second coming, and when he come, the book of Psalm chapter 2 talking about that, and verse 1 said this. I want to read it down through all the whole chapter. "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us.'" You can see what's going on around the world today. Even, you know, in the Middle East, you see those happening right now. But verse 4, the Bible says, He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Verse 5, "Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." God already been set on that particular place. Jesus coming back, and he will rule this world according to his word. So we are marching to Zion. How many of you love that hymn song? "We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. We have heavenly Zion, we have earthly Zion. What a promise that we have." Verse 7, the Bible says, "I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto to me, 'Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession.'" God already been ordained. God already been given all power to Jesus Christ. And verse 9, "Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, all ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." Verse 12, I love this verse. "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. But blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So, and that is our God's promise. He is coming back. When his second coming, the Bible says it's his appearing. So he will judge the world. This passage, according to our text, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 5, this passage serves as a timeless mandate for Christian leaders and as believers to prioritize God's word, remain faithful to their calling, and stand firm against cultural pressures, recognizing that the call to ministry is a divine commission, not just a job. This passage urged Timothy, and by extension all ministries, to be steadfast minister, to be steadfast evangelize, and do all that's necessary to complete the service Christ called him to. And now the book of the Second Timothy chapter 4, the last part, is Paul is near the end and facing immense pressure. Yet his focus is not on himself, but on God's work through Timothy. So we are called a vital, often counterculture task, faithfully proclaim God's word, and then faithfully proclaim God's word, no matter the cause or cultural circumstances. Jesus says this in Matthew 10, 26 and 27, said this: "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. That what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." So John chapter 9 verse 4, also Jesus said this: "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." So I have 3 points for the study of God's word by the way of my introduction. And that's why we go back, because we believe that God's command is for all believers. That's why we go back to Burma or Thailand. I have 3 points this morning. Point number one, you can jot it down if you can. The command. Point number one, the command. What is the command? Command is verse 2, the first part, you see, preach the word. So that is the Lord's command. Through God's command, Jesus' command, through Paul to Timothy and to us. So we see the military language charge. You see verse 1, he said, "I charge thee." We see the word charge implies a solemn order, not just advice, not an option, you know. And a charge means to rush on, to fall on, to attack, especially with fixed bayonets, as an army charges the enemy. Jesus has all power to judge all of us. The Bible says this, Matthew 28 verse 18 through 20 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth." See, Jesus has all power. Satan has power as well, but Satan's power is, you know, not all power. Jesus is all power. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. So he has all power. He charged all of us. And someday, sooner, he will come back. But until then, we must busy in his business, and we must obey his command, which is preach the word. And so the words, we see the words, God's revealed truth, sufficient for salvation. And not man's idea. Salvation is not man's idea, man-made idea. Salvation is from God. He provides us for salvation. We need to preach and we need to teach and spread the word of God. Why? The word gives us eternal life. He is the only answer for all mankind for this life and the life to come. John chapter 1 verse 1 said, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." Talking about Jesus Christ. So, John chapter 1 verse 14 also said this, "And the Word was with God, and the Word was with God, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Full of grace and truth. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 also declared this, "For neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus is the only Savior for the whole world, and He is the only one who can. Yesterday we knocked door, and we have every Saturday, and very cold, and we have only grab and go. But yesterday was very nice weather in Elmira as well. So we have meeting, and before we go, and we hit the road, and we knocked some doors, and I met one preacher. He is from not Baptist, okay, and the elder man, 90 years old, and he is the leader of that church. And I asked him, when you get saved? He said, "Come on in." I said, "Oh, praise the Lord! We never met people invited you Burmese face to their house. We never met, been experienced." And we went in there, and we said, and we talked a lot. I asked, "When did you get saved?" And he said, "I got saved because of my." He pointed to the picture. "My father is minister, reverend, and I was since we were born, we know about Jesus. I was saved, and then I keep telling and explaining my experience, my testimony, I was Buddhist, but somebody, my Burmese preacher, he explained to me how to be saved, and I explained a little bit, and then he said, "I was until 40 years, my family, all of my mom and dad, they are in ministry, teaching Sunday school class, but until 40 years, I was lost." He said, I was born again on 40 years. I said, "Okay, that is the point I want to say." More importantly, we are 100% sure, so that I want you to be sure, even though you are ministry leader, So he said, and then next time he said, "Come, you can come anytime." So I have one friend, I can go in and out in his house, before we go back to Burma. What a testimony. And then one lady she got busy, and she said she has no church, never been. I said, "Do you know Jesus?" She said, "I heard, but I don't know about detail." I said, "Jesus loves you," so we explained a little bit Romans Road, and not until the point we want to invite or as her personal savior, but we have good talk and good day, good time yesterday. Why we do that? Because people need to know. Even though my English is upside down, sometimes the way I want to talk, but but different other way is comes out my mouth. But we want to serve the Lord, and we love to do that because we believe that God commands us to do for you know, we are all His witnesses as believer. So and then also we see in verse 2, 2 Timothy. Let's go back to our text. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 said, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season." That means always ready, always proclaiming, even though you cannot explain all detail, but just pointing to the Bible verse, you know, "For all of sin comes short," according to Romans 3:23, and then Romans 6:20, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." Just point it. You don't have to even talk to, but you can testimony. I can testimony, you know, God's doing through us. And also Romans 5:8, "But God commanded His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus died for you, and Jesus died for me. Those are very powerful, the power has already been in God's word. You don't have to explain too much, but if you can, you know, you can explain as well. And our goal is to preach the word, preach the word. So be always ready, proclaiming even when inconvenient or unpopular, because life is too short and soon be passed. We don't know when we're going to die, but we have just small time left. The Bible says we are, you know, a vapor. Our life is vapor. James chapter 4, verse 13, "Go to now ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." Verse 14, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life?" God is asking each one of us. He said that He asking for what is our life. What is your life? It is even a vapor. See, our life is vapor, like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, very quick. Verse 15, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Verse 16, "But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So our life is very short. We must, while we have time, we must preach, we must witness about our God, about our Lord Savior. Only Jesus can save. Jesus, that's why He came down to the earth and dwelt among us. And the book of Psalm chapter 90 verse 12 also said this, "So teach us to number our days." See, our day we must use wisely, because all of us, God gave us 24 hours at the same time. But the problem, the answer is how we use for those 24 hours. As a Christian, we must, you know, count our days, because those days are God given us from Him, so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. 1 Timothy 4:13 also declare this, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Those are command. So we must obey and we must do it. And when I left his house, that old preacher, he said, "I will be praying for you. I give him, even though he is not Baptist or whatever, I you know, honor him. He trusts Christ as his personal Savior." And before I left, I give it to my our church tracts, and then also my prayer card. And then he said, "Come next time, anytime you can come. I let you come. You don't have to ask anybody else." I saw his parking lot. You know, three cars are parked. And then he said, "Keep doing that. I will be praying for you, he said. What an encourage. So we must obey his command. There is no option. It is to obey. So number one, the command. So point number two, let's move on. Point number two, the challenge. The challenge, verse 3 and verse 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So a time is coming when people won't tolerate sound doctrine. The longer we stay in the truth, the more we know that for this world is so wicked. So they will seek teachers who tickle their ears with what they want to hear, fables, personal desires. So one of my friend preacher, his name is John, Dr. John Gatch, he quote this, the sermon you enjoy the most won't necessarily do you the most good. He said, the sermon you enjoy the most won't necessarily do you the most good. That's true as well. So we have the danger because of a coming apostasy. And turning from the true to fables. 2 Timothy 3, I read it for you, verse 1 through verse 5. This 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, and incontinent, fierce, and despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So we must be careful. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1 and verse 2 also declare this. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, thank you, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. See? Very sad thing. We must stay on the truth, and by God's grace, we must declare and obey his command that he gave us to do. That is, preach the word. And God, don't fear hardship, you know, endure is for the sake of the gospel. And we must continue. And also, I already said that, but I'm going to repeat again. The last time I came, and the church can preach this, and the school can teach, but the home is where the sermons and lessons are practiced. We must, you know, we have a church as a Christian family and Christian, you know, church, or you cannot separate it. We are very important for God. We are very important for the world. And we are important for our own self as well. So, point number three. Point number one, the command. Point number two, the challenge. Point number three, the call. You see the call? Verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 said this, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So, maintain clear focus to Christ and spiritual alertness. And don't fear hardship. Endure it for the sake of the gospel. God will give you a way to escape. Even though sometime or many times we have a hard time to serve the Lord, but God will give us escape. The Bible says that there have no temptation taken you but such as is a command to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted did above, that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So be a faithful, diligent servant of Christ. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, God needs faithful. God wants us to be faithful to Him. The Bible said, let a man so account of us as of the minister of Christ and stewards of the ministry of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We must serve regardless for our Lord. We must serve. And I want to read it, the illustration that I put it in my note. The first two Scottish missionaries sent to the New Hebrides Islands, which is Australia and Papua New Guinea, those area, and the Hebrides Islands, were killed and eaten by cannibals on the day they arrived. After that, it proved difficult to find missionary volunteers. But even when John G. Patton agreed to go, people in the church tried to dissuade him. One elderly man warned that he would be eaten by cannibals, and so Patton replied, I confess to you that if I can but live and die serving and honoring the Lord Jesus, it will make no difference to me whether I am eaten by cannibals or by worms. And in the great day, my resurrection body will arise as fair as yours in the likeness of our risen Redeemer. After 15 years of fruitful ministry, almost everyone on the island of Annawa where Patton minister was converted. Serving God is not a guarantee of an easy life, but we are called to a life of service, even if it means giving up everything. The Bible says, Matthew 16:24, Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. How can we follow? We can follow by preaching the word of God. And be in standing season, out of season. We can follow by supporting who preaches the word of God. We can support pastor who preaches the word of God. Every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know, you have so many every week. You know, bus ministry. Many things you can serve. You can serve. And Amy Carmichael, she quote this, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. So we must do our eternal thing as while we are alive in our earthly life. C.T. Studd also quote this, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So we've seen the solemn command and the cultural challenge and the required steadfastness. And are you ready to preach the word in your place, in your family, in your work, and your church? We have many family members. We have relatives who are not knowing Christ yet. Are you ready to share them? Are you turning to fables or are you turning to truth? Colossians 2:8-10 said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. We are complete in Jesus Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. So we must obey his command, which is you know, preach the word. He charged us. When his second coming, he will judge the world. He will judge the world. But until then, we must be busy in his business, our God's business. We must obey and our Lord by preaching, living for him, serving for him. Continually, day by day, day by day. So I'm stop here. But I love the song said, song title said, Must I Go in Empty Handed? How many of you know? Must I Go in Empty Handed? And I'm going to read it a little bit so that you get an idea. And here the song said this. Must I go in empty handed, thus my dear Redeemer meet? Not one day of service give him, lay not trophy at his feet. And he said, the chorus of this, must I go in empty handed, must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty handed go. How many of you heard that song? Yes, thank you for that. And the last verse, I want to read it. I want to read it for you. O ye saints, arouse, be earnest, up and work, while yet it is day, ere the night of death o'ertake thee, strive for souls while stay you may. Must I go in an empty handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty handed go. So we must strive for the Lord's commands us to do. And if we don't do, most Christians, they said, but we all need to obey the Lord's command. But many Christians, they don't do, they do the way they want to do in their life. But if you do that, many blessings will be, cut off. Because even though we are not, our salvation, there is no way to lose our salvation, because salvation is from the Lord. He gave us free. He died on the cross for us because of our sin. That's why we trust him. We have eternal life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, but after we got saved, we must obey. We must live for him. We must daily reading our Bible. That's what we have the reward in heaven. After our salvation, so we must obey his word. So let's pray a little bit this morning. Dear Lord, thank you for this morning. What a privilege to come this church and preach the word of God. Lord, bless all of your people here. And we pray that, and somebody is not ready to accept yet, but we pray for that soul. You save that soul, Lord. And with somebody t-